you're in business.
I'm officially calling the ANC community meeting to order on February the 3rd, 2008, time being 7:02.
Good deal.
And we have a quorum present.
Consisting of
Commissioner McKay, Commissioner Bossman, Commissioner Scott, and Commissioner Tunda.
Right. Hello.
Come on in.
And we have visitors who are from the Fire and Emergency Management Service, right?
Right. Battalion Fire Chief John Faulkner and Sergeant Gray from DC Fire are here tonight. So,
that's going to be the interface. Hi. I got this deduction. It's a little deduction. I'm sorry, I'd like to go into the nation's court.
So our chairman, which we have one chief that receives all these ANC meetings, would like to bring a few things to everybody's attention and maybe your family and friend members. This is a season for defective oil burners that we've had a lot of problems with, and people using wood as far as fireplaces.
Do we need to stop and start to give time for the interpreting? Paul is our interpreter.
I think he's the only one that needs.
Well, you just let know how.
Just go a little bit slower, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay. Sounds like he's doing well.
Okay. So, we have the oil burners that a lot of times are defective. And fireplaces with people burning wood. We've had reports of chimney fires lately. Maybe there may be some people still with Christmas trees that are highly flammable. So that's a consideration to be worried about. And this is the season for carbon monoxide. Especially with the buildings all closed up and tight. And one of the good things that we have is, about the smoke detection program that we have. And if you don't, I'll go into that. But we have combination smoke and CO2 alarms. And then if you just go online, it's DC Fems. Right, FEMS.
Yeah, I saw you guys out on the street a couple weekends ago.
Right.
Both from house to house.
It's a great deal because all you have to do is schedule to have it done. We'll bring it out and we'll put it in. With a fresh battery and everything. So
there was a fatal fire a couple weeks ago on Kilmore Place.
Right. Most of the fatal fires that we run do not have workers.
Do you know what the cause of that fire was?
Do you know how long they were?
No, I don't think they officially declared the exact cause.
Still under investigation, or else they haven't revealed the cause. We don't know.
What was that number again?
It's www.fems.dc.gov. And that's got all about the programs that the fire department has in place now, especially the smoke detection, which is our number one priority right now.
How many smoke detectors do you recommend people have?
Well, one per level.
One per level.
Right. Smoke detector per level of the house.
What about carbon monoxide?
Okay, that's what I said earlier, that you can get a combination, and we have it. So when you request it, specify that you want a combination one, and they'll make sure that you
have a
combination C, carbon monoxide, and smoke.
And that there's no restrictions on that?
Well, that is the work we're doing. That is spotted in what we're at. Okay. But as far as recommendations, I think if you did per the book, it would probably be one per bedroom and one per level. I mean, really have multiple per book.
Yeah.
we do is we come out and put one at the most more probable place for a fire, which is just outside the kitchen, for our heating plant area.
I think we need a break for the interpreter.
No, just a question. He wants to know if it's battery powered.
Yes, battery powered. Yeah. And we'll put them up, install them, fire them, come out and do it all. Okay, so that's really something that we're doing. And we have a Save You program, SEVU, and it's on the website where we come out and we flood an area with firemen and go door to door and make sure they have working smoke detectors. If they don't have one, we'll install it for them. Okay? That's like on Saturdays, which has pros and cons because some people like to sleep in on Saturdays. We start at 9 and we finish about 1. So, but most recently, we did an area down Sherman, Euclid, Georgia, and maybe Berry Place.
A quick question. Do you do that for apartment buildings?
Yeah,
as well as houses?
Everybody knows they're sued out. We will put them in an apartment. You know, go into apartment buildings and do them. Not in the building itself, but in their apartment. Right. But really, that's kind of rare because most apartment buildings are required to have work. And most of the time, they are hardwired electrically. You know, these that were installed on battery.
Aren't the battery installed ones better than the hardwire because if electricity goes off, doesn't that affect them?
Well, it's requirement that they have a backup battery with them. So when your electric goes off, you have a backup battery in your system. And then we always recommend that you change the batteries when you turn the box back or forward. Every 6 months. So that's our main program right now, as well as smoke detectors. And the other one is the Save You program, which coincides with that. I have some phone numbers for y'all. If you ever would like to have a fire company come out and do a home safety inspection, the phone number for that is 202-673-3331. That's for the home fire safety inspections. Okay, if you ever wonder about a violation of the fire code, fire prevention code, fire prevention handles that. And the phone number for that is 202-727-1600. So if someone is storing combustible materials too close to the building or improperly, or there's a locked door that is a fire escape, that type of thing, that's who you want to call for that.
So it's a
non-suspect thing? Okay. A phone number for the CPR training, which is usually scheduled at our training academy, is 202-673-3245.
Say that again, please.
That's the CPR training.
Yes, without the 202.
Right, 202-673-3245.
Is there a fee for that?
No.
Where is the facility?
That's down here off 205, down across from Bowling.
Where is it? Down where?
Down across from Bowling Air Force Base, down off 295.
Is this
I believe I've seen buses traveling through it. Yeah. It's 4600 Shepherd's Parkway.
Any chance that we could get a training up here at, say, our local fire? Because they're, in this immediate area, we have about 25,000 apartment units with more than 50,000 people. And the vast preponderance of them do not have cars.
Right.
That's,
right.
So,
real hardship to get down there.
Yes. Something we could work together with the Kingly Heights ANC and try to get something together for, because this is really important training.
Right. Let's work at that a couple different ways. You can use this number that I've given you.
Yes.
To touch base with them. I'll follow up it all, up with it on my end. And then a phone number for our public information officer may be useful in something like that, which would be, and most of these numbers are 203-202-673, and it's 3331. That was the same as the fire inspections.
Excuse me. By any chance, are the classes offered, are they still training offered in the weekends?
Yeah, it is. And,
Espanol?
I would believe that that would be something, yeah. I've seen that where they work firemen that are bilingual and...
Porque casi 30 a 40% de nosotros vecinos hablan español.
Right.
So we have to...
Sure. Right. So, we can work at that both ways. I'll follow up on my end. And y'all can, work at it from your end with the PIO and also with our training academy.
Is there any criteria for those who want to be trained? Or?
No, I don't believe so. It's just the... I just recently went through it as a refresher course and, it was 100%, passed. And they work with you till you get it. They've changed a little bit since I was first trained, but, it's really not that difficult. So, let's see, for those that have children or are around children that have concern about their juveniles being involved in a fire setting, there's a program for that. And that phone number is 202-727-2215. So, like I say, the chairman of our committee just wanted me to reemphasize this is the time of the season for oil burners, fireplaces, Christmas trees that may still be around, smoke detectors that I've just gone into, the combination ones with the CO, and also we just recently had a carbon monoxide poisoning situation where we transported several people to the home. And just proper storage of combustibles. So what they want to do.
I have a question about carbon monoxide. There's an alarming inch level, or just close to the
earth? Well, a couple things about carbon monoxide that maybe some people might know is it's lighter than air, so it's going to rise to the very top. Carbon monoxide. Will rise to its very high.
Lighter than air.
Right. And it's not, it has no odor. Or you can't see it. So those three things, So, but generally the type of calls that we run with CO is either a defective stove, or a defective furnace that is powered by natural gas or oil. You don't have any worry about carbon monoxide with an electrical furnace.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, well, thank you for letting me go first. And it's got a pretty good crowd now.
Oh, yes. You warmed them up.
Yeah, right. And we look forward to seeing you every month. Now this will be the third Wednesday. Third Tuesday. Okay.
Thank you.
Any questions? So anything I can help you with?
Thank you.
And I don't know. My personal email with my with the job is John John dot Faulkner. F A U.
John.
Right. John Faulkner, F-A-U-L-K-N-E-R, at dc.gov. Any questions or concerns, please let me know.
Thank you so much.
Okay,
thank you.
We can get rid of that.
Set it by.
Can we go ahead and do the administrative part?
Can you send the bill at 16:30 at least?
16:30.
We need to do it, because otherwise.
For the administrative.
Stormy has given me permission to do our administrative. Because there was apparently a miscommunication. Calling the formal part of the meeting to order.
The other what he did was that he is giving the his workers.
At about 7:20, there are three resolutions that
we have one conversation.
Have some urgency, so we can get our grant program and staff going.
So it's a lead removal operation and yes, might not be according to how we should do it.
Present.
Okay. I think that's a DCRA issue.
Okay. That's already been done. All Rotunda, Jack McKay, Dave Boston. I would like to hand it out our copies to the commissioner. The two resolutions are ANC1D resolves that the operational period for the 22 grant projects approved on 6 November 2009 starts at the time of receipt of the grant letter for reimbursement of all full expenditures. All documentation must be received by ANC1D within 60 days of the start. ANC1D authorizes its staff group to designate an independent contractor to be acting grants manager as specified by the bylaws, initially starting with Odegbile, who will provide the administrative services authorized by the bylaws, the enabling resolution, the 2008 grant program, and the 2008 grant guide. I'm hoping to hear a second. Thank you. Is there any discussion?
My only question is, how do we know when they have received the grant letter?
We don't. We could pay for a return receipt that they sign off on it, and that may be the best way to do it.
Well, in case anybody's wondering, we're just getting rid of a couple of teeny little things we have to do because of time. On the grants program.
I would recommend that as part of the grant administration, we do a follow-up to see if they've received these grants.
That's going to be done.
I don't think we need to resolve that.
Okay.
I suggest that as
That's part of the discussion we've already had with our
I call for a vote then.
All in favor?
Aye.
So 6-0? The contract for administrative support services, this was, let me read it, resolved ANC1D approves the attached contract to engage as an independent contractor at the administrative support services of Odegbile for the calendar year of 2009.
I second.
Is there any discussion? Seeing none, let's call for, let's proceed to a vote. All in favor? 6. All opposed? 0. And both of these have passed.
That's it, right?
Yes.
Good.
Okay, so
at
7:18.
We had a couple of administrative things related to last year's grant process, as well as one of our administrative help. Should normally have waited for a normal business meeting, but because we moved our business meetings to the end of the month, we have this gigantic period between January 3rd and February 17th. So we wanted to get this out of the way. I think now we should begin with the discussion topic for tonight.
Everybody got a seat?
Feel free to bring some of the chairs forward up here.
There's one.
Do you have a specific place you want to start, or you just...
Well...
You want to make a statement? Anybody before?
May I?
Okay.
Maybe somebody else?
This is part of a series of informal meetings that the ANC wishes to put together to be generally held the first Tuesday of each month. The topic for tonight is the future of Mount Pleasant. There are several projects going on right now that may radically change what we're doing. And the approach that we've taken to this in the past has been to go around the room, and each person has a couple of minutes to speak about what their ideas are. You can pass, and so it will go to the next person, and we'll do up on the next round. The idea is to give each person a chance to start to speak, and we'll see how things move on. Please start with your name, and then move directly into a minute or two of your ideas about what you'd like to see on the future of Mount Pleasant. I suggest we start counterclockwise.
Let's not confine it to that topic, because if people want to have some other issues they want to bring up, they're free to do so.
Good. Thank you. You see, we're collegial here. I in particular make a lot of corrections. I suggest we start here and go clockwise. Yes. If you wish, you can translate. Anna, would you like to say something?
No, I technically don't really live here anymore, so...
Okay.
So, I'll just give it to us.
Well, you can pass and name your ideas.
I pass when I come back.
Okay.
Well, for me, Mount Pleasant...
Your name?
Alejandro Pastor, I'm sorry. And I would like to see Mount Pleasant a lot more green areas, the most that you can. And of course, the cleaning of Mount Pleasant is very important for me, and of course, the parking is very possible to do it, the most possible.
Then, the co-owner of Mark's Cafe?
Me?
Yes.
Oh, Mark, I bought from my cousin Arga right now. He's not here.
Okay.
But I've been here for 20 years. I've seen a lot of change in Mount Pleasant. They changed the park, they changed the road. I'm just wondering, very concerned about the one way, talking about they're going to do the park road one way. Is that going to happen? Or are we just thinking about it? What's going to happen exactly? It's not really convenient for a lot of people.
Are you talking about by Giant Food?
Yeah. No, but they said going to be the park road is going to be one-way street. Is that correct?
There are many proposals, and nothing has been decided.
Who makes that decision?
I wish I knew, but let's continue going around the room, because otherwise...
And one more thing, about the street here, Mount Pleasant, but... a lot of businesses we have in the Mount Pleasant, it's been covered. A couple of years ago in a meeting, it was mentioned that a lot of stores have like a metal in the front of the businesses. And they said that the fire department was here, they said that it's not safe for that business. Why did not they didn't do anything about those fence, metal fence front? So like a best way, they have like a fence, metal fence. It's not really nice in the areas. Changing.
Uh-huh.
Is anything's going to happen for that? Anybody going to respond about those?
We're really just getting ideas at this point. We want you to tell us what your concerns are and what we should be looking at.
But you, I mean, one thing you're saying is that you feel like the neighborhood's gotten a lot safer and you'd like to see businesses
it's
take
really
bars
off of it. It's not really safe. It's safer a little bit 20 years ago, but it's still a lot of the, I see a lot of, maybe you guys not walking right in that time, I see a lot of activity. I call the police from Argyle basically twice a night for police.
Is that for shoplifting?
Shoplifting, drugs, police to tell me, respond. I know what they're doing, but call us. They even block my number. I don't need to call them. When I call them, they say automatically comes. It's in the police meeting I mentioned about this, but I didn't see any response. They come in specifically in the middle of the street, they ask you, you want something, you want marijuana? It's not changed since 20 years ago. Is the same things? They used to be asking for different specific, there's different names. Then now they ask you, do you want marijuana? Customer come tell. And it's not really change. It's the same thing. They change names.
Thank you.
Kids in a walk in the street, they're selling, no response.
Thank you.
Yes.
So Kristen, I'm just here to listen.
I'm David. I guess this has been a much talked about issue, but I don't know if this is the right forum for it.
Go ahead.
Meeting, but I guess I'd like to know what the status is on the movement towards getting live music to be allowed in exactly Mount Pleasant.
That's a good thing that you asked. Here at Mount Pleasant has been a part of that. I was on the steering committee of here at Mount Pleasant. There's actually a meeting tomorrow night in this building where we'll be talking about events that we'll be doing in the neighborhood. And we can also talk about giving you the latest update on where we are in terms of the court stuff that we're doing. If you don't mind, I'd rather not get real into the details tonight. We have made some progress. We have some distance to go. I'm also planning to try and develop a responsible hospitality committee for this body that will work with businesses and the community to try and resolve some of the issues that led to problems in the past. I think also there's a lot of talk of a grant that's come from the city to Mount Pleasant Main Street to deal with responsible hospitality as well. That's getting off the ground. I think we'll hear from the president of Mount Pleasant Main Street a little bit later. But there are a lot of things going on with that. We have made some progress. We've got farther to go.
Okay, sounds good. What time is that meeting tomorrow?
7 o'clock.
Yeah,
I can't. But if you talk to me too, I can tell you exactly what's
that.
But the future Mount Pleasant, would you like to see more music and entertainment options?
Yeah.
Okay.
People behind the gentleman?
Hi, I'm Linda Gwen. I just moved from 2D, and now I'm in, I guess this is 1D. This is my first meeting, and I guess my main issues would be safety. I think I got one issue resolved through Jim Graham's office and DDOT, and that's better lighting between 14th and 17th on Park Road. But there's also what I would call really aggressive loiterers on this street, pretty much at all times of the day and night, particularly in front of the 7-Eleven. And I don't know if there's something to be done about that. And I've tried in certain ways to minimize that, just personally, but I don't know if I'm going to get very far.
Are you talking about personal harassment when you say aggressive loitering?
Yeah, just aggressive. I guess like cat calls and right, specifically aimed at single women or women. Well, I don't know if it's aimed at other people. I just know what happens to me. So I think cat
sign there?
You, sir. Do you have anything?
No. Wheel Street, I've been out there for over 30 years, so I'm just listening.
Ah, how about the gentleman seated in front of you?
Oh, yeah, I want to know how to park it, but I'll be on Park Road when they finish the construction.
Would you give your name?
One side of the street or one side.
Would you give your name, please?
Vernon Dent.
Since we...
He answered some of the questions. Shall I try to answer some?
If you could.
If you
okay.
Sure.
The parking on the 1600 block of Park Road is supposed to, first of all, the construction is due to end at the end of March.
But they put up one day, the question I had that, is you going to be able to park on both sides of the street or one side?
Currently, the plan is to, is that there will be parking on, of course, on the south side, and then outside of the rush hour from starting at 7 in the evening to 7 the next morning, then there will be parking on the north side. Some of us that are involved in it are trying to convince the city to go to one lane there, but I think that will not happen until we see whether creating two turn lanes on the eastern end will remove some of the congestion, because right now, before, cars backed up on that block all the way to through the 1400 block of Park Road. And so if we can use the ANC passed a resolution asking for three, it looks like we'll get two change lanes, and if that can, the idea is that if that can actually clear up the congestion, then we may have a better case for moving on. Let me say that as a result of our involvement, I've been working very hard on that. It's in my SMD, my district. We now have, and as a result of the resolutions passed by this ANC, we now have RPP stickers permanently promised to any of the 1400 residents that of that block.
Is that going to be permanent stickers?
Permanent stickers. And we almost got it so you could pick it up at the field office, but they will help you, and there are letters that will that have been passed out. If you haven't gotten it, you could go to the field office and get a letter. This is an extraordinary program that has not been done elsewhere in the city. It's a result of us confronting them about the fairness of displacing people for all these months. You can pick those letters up now and start to park. You should tell all your neighbors. There are about 1,400 people living on that block.
I can take it every day.
Well, then, the...
Monroe Street ticket. Lamar Street ticket.
Well, then you should go to the field office tomorrow and pick up a letter, get an RPP that will allow you to park anywhere in the neighborhood.
All right. Where does he need to go? Sorry, did you get that part? Pick up the letter.
Where's the field office?
The field office is two doors south of Habitat Realty building on the 3200 block of Mount Pleasant. I'm sorry, I don't remember the exact street address, but it's right there.
And,
what's the name of it?
It's the Columbia Heights Mount Pleasant field office for this project. That
3247.
Thank you. 3247.
3247 Mount Pleasant Street.
On that note, I'm sorry, quick question. I have a dual residency. I spent some of my time living in Maryland, and my other time living is here in Mount Pleasant as well. My car is registered in Maryland. Is there any way to get a zone permit for my residence here without converting my license and plates to DC?
No.
Gotten Like, they get their $100 tickets, and they're parked when they, when the officers see your car there over a period of time. But it's not
a safe. I understand you get a warning for those the first time, right?
Or you could register your car.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the
district.
Well, they aren't as any better. Than
Alejandro.
Yes, my name is Alejandro. The vision from Unpleasant is to see a much more vibrant commercial corridor, a place that's attractive to tourists, visitors, workers, with a special connection with the residents, so that it maintains its character. I'd like to see music as well. That brings a lot of that vibrancy. And I'd like to see a lot more investment, strategic investment by the city. Maybe planning a development, something that that allows small businesses to be viable in this part of the city, and a better connection with our surrounding areas, Hans Moy and Public Park, Zoo, Columbia Heights.
When you say more connections, what do you mean?
I mean better connection, meaning better urban planning that takes into account the context for where we are, even though we're small. It's not, you know, a small village in a larger city. Still connected to these other places. So something that takes that into account.
Thank you. By the way, everyone, there's refreshments in the back, and you're welcome to get them as we move. This is an informal meeting, so you can stand up and walk over and get them. Behind? Gabriela.
Yes, I got Gabriela. We'll see. I'm here to represent the Mount Pleasant Business Association. And I don't think I could get a little bit better than I've done. From the business owner's perspective, obviously they would like to have more foot traffic, and return to times when you have better storefronts, help with the facades, help with obviously having more customers. This is their concern. They've lost a lot of their customers. The economic downturn seems to have affected them. But I'm really here to listen and take notes. And the business association has its own meeting. Actually, has one tomorrow morning. But they're also collecting, you know, some of their fees.
Adam.
My name is Adam Poe. I'm a resident and a member of Mount Pleasant Main Street. I guess from an economic development standpoint, I'd like to see it, as Alejandro Gabriela said, I'd like to see the street become a little more vibrant. I'd like to see the arts and culture inherent to the community promote a little more. I'd like to see a little bit more diversity in terms of the commercial offerings that we have on the street. And then from a design standpoint, we'd like to see those ugly cobra lights removed and have we'd like to see the lighting be better and be replaced and look nicer. We'd like to see nicer looking storefronts, and we'd also like to see, in terms of the properties on the street, we'd like to see more mixed use properties, so that we can include not only retail but also professional services in addition to residential housing, so that we can develop a daytime economy which can be used to help support the local businesses. And then as Phil alluded to earlier, that Main Street is based on a grant that we received. We will be starting an RHI, Responsible Hospitality Institute program in the neighborhood, hopefully within the next month. And we'll be pulling together some stakeholder groups for some visioning meetings for hospitality, development, security, and community. So we'll keep everybody abreast of when these meetings are going to be. And we'll be bringing in people from government, non-government, local organizations, and residents to participate in those roundtables. Hopefully coming up with a comprehensive report
Don't take, we don't mean in hours, but I
Yeah, I don't want to spend too much time on it, take it offline, but I guess in summary, you know, actually Greg Edwards was nice enough, I think, to introduce all of us to Responsible Hospitality Institute. It was about a year or two ago, Greg?
Actually, starting about 4 years ago.
4 years ago. And so this is an organization which is, it's a consultancy, really, and they work with municipalities to try to improve, and in my opinion, the operations of a neighborhood by bringing together and the vision, you know, part of this and the day-to-day operations and the issues like what the ANC deals with, but doing it with multiple perspectives in mind. So the perspectives of the business owner, perspective of organizations, perspectives of residents, perspectives of government organizations, and a lot of times those are in stovepipes, they're in silos, and so they try to bring those people together and get all of this information on the table and then come up with a report so that the views of a lot of people are represented and they're trying to solve problems. So it's an organization, they provide consulting services. The focus is really on hospitality, that's sort of the niche area, and in particular entertainment and nighttime hospitality, but it certainly covers, they try to encompass safety and community and other issues that drive the neighborhood. So essentially 9th and U and 14th Street have already implemented this program. They have a report, they've already done this a couple of years ago. They're trying to implement this program citywide. And so Mount Pleasant last year won a grant to bring a green team to Mount Pleasant, as well as to help organize and coordinate an RHI program here for business improvement. So that's what we're going to do. And we look forward to working, you know, inviting everyone to participate in the stakeholder meetings.
I expect, let me just say that I expect that the Commercial Corridor Committee of the ANC, which has had meetings on this for 4 years and has done a lot of work, will have a meeting on it soon to work with all the different groups and be able to focus on what is going on and explain it what has happened. Mount Pleasant is about 5 times smaller than any of the other areas that have adopted this program anywhere in the world, and has some special conditions. And so the experts there at some of the meetings I've gone to have said that we're going to probably need to be a little inventive and come up with some new ways to do it. And so this is an opportunity to get everybody to start to think about how we can learn from the best and of what's been done and make adjustments here.
Great. If I can just add one more comment, I think another driver, obviously we're not at 14th Street, we're not at 9th and U, we're not at DuPont Circle either, we're a lot smaller than that, but the other benefit of this is that it democratizes the process of local governance. And in the past, we've had individual stakeholders that have kind of dominated that, and we hope to make this a more democratic process in the future, so this will help us to do that. And in particular, organizations like ABRA, that runs the alcohol licenses, which have a lot to do with entertainment and alcohol licenses on the street. The ABRA organization actually supports this program, so it's sort of a win-win situation that we'll be implementing it here.
There's 5 or so seats in the front here, but people just came in.
Yeah. Tony, come on.
And there are refreshments on the table. Refreshments are on the table.
Chairs, we remind you all, we've run out of chairs back here.
There are chairs up here.
Chairs in the middle.
Tony, come on.
ABRA. What is it? Yep.
ABRA is the alcohol beverage.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. I should have called you for you.
I'm Mayor Rado. I'm a resident on San Resident on Selection. I have the opinion here that we need the main street to be more vibrant, more lighted, a little more clean, so that people feel comfortable, especially the ladies, to walk around. Within the business, will then be a better. We'll have a better opportunity to survive if the neighborhood gets safer or more lively for people. think that's the thing we need to think about is this parking problem. It's very nice to bring a lot of different people from the city neighborhood. But as long as the parking problem is a headache, people won't come because nobody wants to come to visit here and get $100
tickets. My other one, there is someone both in front of you and in back of you. I can't see the person in back of you, but in order to maintain sort of the circular approach, we should do a little front and back zigzag. Person in the back starting first.
My name is Angie Kim Romani, and this is my first meeting. I guess I'm fairly new to North Pleasant. I've been here about a year and a half. And I'm mainly here to listen. I'm also very interested in finding out about plans to revitalize
I'm Jaisa Burrell. I'm your Ward 1 Outreach Service Specialist from the Mayor's Office. This is actually my first meeting here. I'm recently new to the government. I started in November, and this is actually my first meeting. So I'm just here to listen to all the issues that are being addressed here in the community, and we'll be able to help everyone and assist in guiding with the proper agency or just, you know, let the mayor know what's going on and what's the...
Would you give us your phone number?
Yes, it's 202-213-9467.
And your name again?
Jaisa, it's spelled Y-A-I-Z-A, Burrell, B-U-R-R-E-L-L.
And Jackie?
Yes. Is
she still there?
No, she's actually at DOES now.
Okay.
Yes.
So Sarah Lakers.
Excuse me?
Sarah Lakers' office?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So Donnie Gonzalez is my partner.
So he stays? Yes. Mm-hmm. Former ANC commissioner?
Yes.
Thank you.
202-213-9467.
Moving on, it looks like Barbara would be next.
We'll zigzag.
Yes, we're zigzagging.
I'm Barbara Hayden. I've lived in the neighborhood for 23 years. I really love it here. I'd like to spend the rest of my life here. That means there has to be affordable apartments here so that when I'm an old lady, I can live in an apartment. I guess my real heart in the work I've done with the neighborhood and with the organization I'm now Secretary Treasurer of, which is always Mount Pleasant, I really wish for a way to do an experiment here in social and cultural diversity that makes this neighborhood a world-class neighborhood. And so we can only do that by being very experimental and solve some of the problems of gentrification and the old pattern of neighborhoods getting very wealthy and getting very nice and very getting very pretty and then getting very boring and then going into decline. And then the whole site repeats itself. I think we've got so much energy, positive energy in the neighborhood most of the time. And we just have to be sure that in the tug of war of things we want, we tug in the direction of progress instead of retrogress. I want to say something. I'm so glad about the conversations about responsible hospitality because the current alcohol beverage regulation administration, AGRA laws, the procedure by which neighborhoods dictate what they want from their bars and restaurants is awful. It's undemocratic. It's impossible to participate in if you're an average citizen with a job. You can't be at ABRA all day long. And if you want a history of this, come to your Mount Pleasant meetings and hang out a bit. It's got to change. So the RHI idea, I'm very much in favor.
Let's start off with in front and move back and as part of the zigzag, the woman in the yellow sweater.
Me?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Leah Galvin. I live right around the corner in the corner of Mount Pleasant and Irving. And I also work at the Latin American Youth Center, which is a community-based organization that's been around since the 70s. So I'm just kind of here to listen. This is my first meeting as well. I just moved into the neighborhood.
All right.
And I think I know from a work perspective, our to is to keep rent at a reasonable cost. We're already seeing, I work in the evaluation division, so a lot, I do a lot of demographic analysis, and we're already seeing a lot of our participants being pushed out. I mean, definitely from Columbia Heights, but even from this neighborhood as well now. So that's kind of why I'm here.
Now, by the way, I'm seated. There are three people in back of you. Perhaps we can move the woman with glasses and blonde hair.
My name is Katie Swanson. I don't have much to add beyond what's already been said. Particularly agree with Alejandra and the revitalization of the Main Street and the Sherman
Association. Thank you. Next.
I'm Sandy Straub. I've lived here for about 6 years. I also agree with all of the economic development ideas. Particularly, I would like to see some help for all the vacancies in the existing businesses and in the wake of DCUSA and the strength of that neighborhood and helping existing businesses compete and helping us market the vacant spaces to new businesses to come into the neighborhood. And then another comment just specifically is the traffic. I would like to see some kind of solution on the traffic going into Columbia Heights on Main Street. That seems to be a choke point that hasn't really been resolved as everybody wants to.
Thank you. In back of you, your name?
I'm David Richardson, resident of Park Bay Apartment, 16 Little Park Road. I'm just sitting here.
I'm Lori Gallinger. I'm a Mount Pleasant resident, and I'm here on behalf of Historic Mount Pleasant. And, you know, we agree with everything that Adam and Gabrielle and Alejandra had to say about the, you know, the need for a vibrant commercial district. And I'm also here to sort of share, you know, going back to the Office of Planning and their study, what Historic Mount Pleasant would like to see OP do with its resources. And we'd like to see them gather some data for our neighborhood that is beyond the capacity of our individual volunteer organizations to put together. And specifically, we'd like to see them do a
their chairs up here, by the way.
We'd like to see them do a comprehensive market study with a focus on the multifamily buildings, since it's the multifamily buildings that are the economic driver of Mount Pleasant Street. And, you know, identify what the gaps are, what retail is needed, and that'll help us fill our vacant storefronts and, you know, to bolster our existing businesses. And then the second thing we'd like to see them do is a comprehensive, you know, physical assessment of Mount Pleasant Street. We're a historic district. I mean, that's for Historic Mount Pleasant. Our mission is the built environment. And we'd like to see them identify, you know, not all the buildings on Mount Pleasant Street are contributing structures to the historic district. We'd like to see them, you know, give us some suggestions. They're buildings that are contributing structures, but, you know, you could save the facades and do some redevelopment behind them. We'd like to have, but to look at Mount Pleasant Street holistically is beyond the scope of what Historic Mount Pleasant's volunteers can do and really requires, you know, an architecture planning consultant. And OP's got the money to help us with that. So we wanted to sort of throw out this specific ideas about how the D.C. government can help us in the context of this study.
Thank you. Is Dora someone behind you?
I'm Dora Johnson, and I'm also a long-term resident of Mount Pleasant. 40 years. I am very concerned about residential parking and the unfairness of the way in which residential parking gets limited and doesn't get limited. And I would like very much to somehow figure out, knowing fully well that nobody is ever going, it's never going to be totally fair, but that the fairest way to make this place a welcoming place so that people can feel that they can come and park here, and yet at the same time somehow protect people whose home, whether it has been
a place where people walk and talk and eat and eat. But I would also encourage everybody to do the same. I think we need to do it with our own feet before we say what other people have done.
Thank you.
My name is Laura Schitz. I am also an employee of Latin American Youth, so I agree with what all of Vida just said. And on a personal note, I want to echo what other people said about better lighting on Mount Pleasant Street and safety issues. Certainly, the numbers is a lot of noise on the ground.
I'm Claudia Schlossberg. Laura's gotten beat by about 10 years. I've been in Mount Pleasant for going on 31 years. I'm a steering committee member here at Mount Pleasant. Worked very hard with the ANC, with Main Street, and with other organizations to get the little bit of live entertainment back in our commercial restaurants. In the last 2 years, it was a really tough fight, but we all hung in together. We're still fighting. I want to endorse Alejandra's vision for Mount Pleasant. We have a really incredible community. It's diverse culturally, ethnically, economically, and Mount Pleasant Street should be where we come together to be a community, and we can do that by sharing culture and music and supporting our local businesses, and we haven't been able to do that for a whole lot of reasons. There is a lot happening right now, a lot of focus on Mount Pleasant, which I think is great, with the Office of Planning and RHI grant. One thing I want to say is I think that as a community we need to come together and hold our government accountable for the promises they made to the tenants at the Doeville and the fire that occurred, what is it, a year ago now. And I remember the mayor saying that the tenants who are part of our community and have been displaced, and that has also affected the economic well-being of our street. A lot of those folks who live in that building went to, you know, the grocery stores and the laundromats and the restaurants, and they're not there now. The mayor said they will be back in this neighborhood in a year. Well, it's been a year. And not only are they not back, but that building is standing there completely in the same condition it was after the fire. And I would like to see us come together as a community to hold our government accountable for that situation and bring folks home. And I think that's part of the revitalization of the commercial strip.
If I may, an announcement I just heard at about 6 o'clock today from is that I've arranged to have a task force of myself, a representative from Jim Graham, and the deputy director of DCRA. We're at the meeting where I was upgrading them. And so we'll be getting together and with the idea of reviewing all possible fines and legal actions that can be made, because the blockage has been that the landlord, having bought the property for $2.5 million about 4 or 5 years ago, now wants $20 million, which is an outrageous sum. And until we can begin to move that, and the city's not going to do eminent domain, so we need to apply pressures. And that, I just heard that we have an agreement now to move on that. So
let us know where the pressure needs to be put.
I will be I'll be talking with, if anyone is interested in assisting this as a kind of informal, civil committee, we'll then, let's get together, call me or email me, and we can work out, because I think this could be a major breakthrough in getting real coordination. I'm sorry for that, but I thought people would be interested in hearing about that. Sir?
My name is Brendan Doherty. I moved very recently into the neighborhood at the Bunker Road Street. So I think this is my first ANC meeting, whether informal or otherwise. And certainly here, in the most part of the list, I think people like yourself have been here 30 years, or you, or Dora back there 40 years, I think obviously you have a pretty rich understanding of where the community's been, and then in that same way where it's headed. A lot of why I moved here certainly is talking about a lot of what you were saying, Alejandro, about Main Street and revitalizing it, and gentrification, on the one hand, that brings in perhaps more security, as we talked about already, but also balancing that with, I think, the vibrancy, which is a large part of why I chose to buy here in Mount Pleasant, is to be in a place that still maintains that. And I think, you know, just simply from one of the things that, in now moving here as a homeowner, looking at ways to participate, I mean, one of the things that I would be interested in the future is how to look at ways to make Mount Pleasant, whether it's the homeowners, the multi-family buildings, the businesses, sort of more economically viable vis-a-vis greener technologies or greener initiatives or things like this, so that it doesn't have to be more environmentally friendly only, but in fact can be ways to also be more economically friendly for homeowners or businesses. So I think even from a basic standpoint of how do we improve, let's say, our own homes, so maybe that involves consultants or a meeting that brings the neighborhood together for those that are interested in ways to do that through bringing in maybe a consultancy, to helping maybe homeowners or businesses identify grants that are out there or pilot programs that are out there for smaller neighborhoods to try, you know, at one point someone mentioned, you know, trying to put Mount Pleasant on the map in a particular way, and I think the Historical Society certainly is part of that, and I think maybe these greener technologies can also be kind of done in conjunction with that. And so, just as a homeowner, I'd be more interested in a pure information standpoint on what's out there and what's available, but then also looking at ways that maybe we can fold that in to the businesses and the multi, you know, apartment buildings are certainly here as well. But this may be already underway, so I don't know, but it's certainly something that I'd like to find out more about. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Merritt, and from what I've heard so far, there's some concern about crime in the neighborhood. And if there is any way that the NC can invite the police chief from time to time, and so that everybody could discuss their grievances with the police chief or their assistant.
There are separate meetings in this neighborhood that are, I think are being revised.
Yes.
That meet with the police, and that's used to happen every month. I think they're being redeveloped now.
Yes, they are. May I give a brief report on that, in case people haven't heard? As a result of several resolutions from the ANC, plus a lot of letters from some of the other cities, I had a meeting with the assistant chief, who oversees 4,500 people and almost all of the officers. 2 weeks ago, I sent a summary around to the ANC, but the result of it is that we are moving along a plan, and it was with the, of course, the assistant chief, the commanders, the inspectors, and so on, and we're going to try, and I'm going to try to seek a support from the ANC soon, to have Mount Pleasant as an innovation zone for policing. An innovation zone for policing. So that is being backed by the chief, the assistant chief actually, and the commander George Kusick. So the attempt we'll start to make is that we'll have a meeting with the civic associations. And the commander coming up, then probably in association with the commercial quarter, but it could be separate. And then we have the ANC made three grants, which should start soon, to the building associations of apartment buildings to start off with an experiment where the police will work directly with the apartment buildings. Those are the Widener, the Marconi Park, and the Oaklawn Terrace. Two of these are in Oliver Tunda's district. And as soon as with that program can move forward, then we will try to expand it, perhaps with parts of the business association and other parts. We're not sure how this is going to turn out, but it looks like we are in for an accelerated attention on policing issues and working with the city here in Mount Pleasant. There is a parallel process going on throughout the whole city to reform the PSAs.
If people are interested in working on this, who should they talk to?
Call me.
Call me, great.
My number's on the, I'll give you my number. It's also on our website. It's 234-6646. So, the ENC has, Jack, you can perhaps recall how many years we've been trying to get, make progress on this.
Forever. Let's bring out a couple more chairs. I want Richard to see if you come up here. Come on.
There are some chairs here.
You can't hide them here forever.
This is a commissioner from the past.
Well, there are a number of people who passed on the first round.
Well, we've got a couple. We haven't got two.
Still got two.
Right.
All those people have been over there and haven't spoken yet.
Yeah. So, why don't, I mean, I don't want to step out of turn, but why don't we start again from the left? And if you passed on the first time and you want to say something, then speak, but we'll just keep, try not to speak twice, yeah.
My name is Anthony Schmuck, member of Walrus, Mount Pleasant.
We're listening today.
But you didn't introduce yourselves.
Yeah.
That's good. Oliver, would you start and maybe say a minute about what you're interested in.
My name is Oliver Tunde. I'm the ANC commissioner of G12. What I would like to see in Mount Pleasant is the eradication of bed bugs.
Hey.
This is a taboo that people don't want to talk about it, but it's real. There are bed bugs, and we should get rid of them.
The pest we
and I would at least also want a landlords to actually notify tenants because they want to, you know, they look for an apartment. They should be notified that there are possibilities of bed bugs in the building they would like to live in.
May I mention that several of the small grants that has just been awarded, and tonight we did stuff to move it forward, deal with bed bugs in buildings. The ANC also passed their grants to the building associations of several buildings. The ANC also passed a series of resolutions authorizing up to $5,000 of money to work on this. And so I think we are at the beginning of putting together a program unlike anywhere else in D.C. or the Washington area to have a coordinated program for dealing with these things. And perhaps we should look for volunteers as well to help coordinate this. Always Mount Pleasant has been working on this for several years and supporting this. Their meeting is Saturday at noon in the main room of the library.
It's not limited to apartments. The row houses in my block have a couple of infestations.
Yes.
And I think this comes mostly from sometimes people putting out old mattresses. And it's being taken out from people on the street. And I see it happen regularly all the time. Yeah. Builders put out these old mattresses. And people come around with the trash. They take it home. And that's and that's how the infestation really continues. So I think the apartment buildings.
It's pandemic around the world.
Yeah.
And some of my constituents say that they have seen them on metro seats.
Oh, yes.
So we will, and in Mount Pleasant, I have heard from my neighbors that buildings having over half of the population of Mount Pleasant now are infested with bed bugs.
Yes.
So this is a very serious issue for us. Excuse me, that's a sort of a, as things come up, we can sort of say, give people a little bit of a history of what the ANC has been doing, which I think is quite a lot on most of these issues. Jack.
I'm Jack McKay. I'm, most of you know me by now. As of May, I will have been a Mount Pleasant resident for 35 years. And we've seen a lot of changes in those 35 years. A lot of them have been good. But what we don't want to lose is this fundamental diversity. I mean, we moved here because Mount Pleasant was a place where different populations of people came together. We want to keep that. And I never expected to see Mount Pleasant turn into a rich man's neighborhood, which is what it's threatening to do. So my theme here is let's keep Mount Pleasant a place where all kinds of people live together in comfort.
Dave Bossman, I'm between Lamont and Irving Street, sort of to the south, and I'm very concerned with two aspects that I think are inseparable. One is the environment, locally, regionally, and etc., and the other is social and economic justice.
My name is Phil Lepanto. This is my first term on the ANC. I was elected in November. Thank you to the 400 or so people that voted for me. You know, going around the room, I definitely want to agree with all of you that talked about vibrancy and economic development and stuff like that. I think for those of you who have only lived here a few years, I've been here 10 years, it's not 20, it's not 30, it's not 40, and I know that there are a few people in this room who said they've been here for 1 or 2 years, or they just moved here. I hope you'll find that Mount Pleasant is a welcoming community. We are glad that you're here. We want you to be a part of this community. And I think what I would really like to see is that all of us in this room work together to make this a better community. I know from coming to a few of these meetings before I ran for office that there are a lot of familiar faces in this room. There are a lot of people who come out on a regular basis and work hard to make Mount Pleasant a better place. And I know it's frustrating when you come to meeting after meeting and you see a lot of the same faces. We've got to reach out, we've got to bring the new faces in, we've got to show them that there are ways to get involved. We've got to all work together as a community. That's something that I really want to dedicate myself to. I want to achieve all the goals that we talked about, economic diversity, people diversity, all that kind of stuff. But we've got to do it together. And you've heard about Mount Pleasant Main Street. You've heard about Here Mount Pleasant. You've heard about Historic Mount Pleasant. You've heard about Always Mount Pleasant. There's a whole alphabet of organizations that come together and work together on specific things. The ANC tries to work on a lot of things, but we all need to work together, and I'm looking forward to starting the year off right. I mean, 38 people in the room wanting to get things done, wanting to talk about the future of our community. It's inspiring. So thank you.
I'm Greg Edwards. Thank you to my constituents for having elected me 4 times to the ANC. I'm sort of like Jack. He's been here 2 years ahead, 2 months ahead of me. It was 35 years ago in July 1st that I was part of a group that bought in to Mount Pleasant, and we're pretty active, the group I'm in, and several others that we've been working with. You have my phone number. Please call me, and because I think we need, I think I hear now, more than before, actually, a dedication for us to set up some informal working groups associated with the projects, and in particular, go to our website and see who won the grants, because they are all going to be recruiting people to work with them on many of the diverse projects. Almost everything that people said here, somebody won a grant to work on in this neighborhood.
Oh, my turn. I'm Angelia Scott. Most people know me as Stormy. This is my 3rd term. Right? Okay. I've been around for a minute. This particular type of meeting is my favorite meeting because it's supposed to always be about the people and how can anybody that's in places such as we are do anything if we don't know what it is you actually want. We have our own personal desires and things that we would like to have, but it's not always what the constituents want. I'm very happy to live here. I was born in this community. I left a while, so we're not going to say how many years I don't think that's important, but I was a baby when I started here, so I went to school in Lincoln before they tore it down and, you know, have what we have now. So I've seen a lot of things and a lot of changes, but my favorite thing is the diversity, and I don't ever want anybody in this community to feel that there are any chiefs that run the thing, because, you know, chiefs can't do nothing without the Indians, and I don't mean that as a nationality or as a culture. That's, you know, without the little people who are all around everywhere, nothing can be done. So I really like it when you guys come out and say what's on your mind, and even if you don't have anything to say, even your presence speaks. Your, you know, that speaks as well. And I've always been the person that likes to encourage people to do our support. As long as I see it's helping the people, I'll be supportive. But if I think it's hurting at least one person, I won't be supportive. My door is always open. My phone line is always open. So if you want to call about anything, you're more than welcome to do it. And I have some ideas that I'd like to see come to Mount Pleasant as well. So I thank you all for coming out tonight and taking the time from your busy evening to share with us.
Okay, I think, like we talked about, there are a number of people that took a pass. There are a number of people that are came into the meeting. I'm going to sort of go around. Please, if you haven't spoken, speak up. If you have spoken, hold until we come around to the next round. We really want to try and hear from as many people as possible.
Luis Figueroa. He's heard a lot of different topics tonight. Crime being one. About hospitality. About the rent issues and about diversity and music. The Mount Pleasant community has gotten much better throughout the years, and that a lot of people get afraid because of the crime rate. But despite that, and after many years of living here, he might have seen one or two major issues or riots in the city. And he said that he's not really worried about people in the street loitering as much as. He says he's not as afraid of that as he is an incident where he was taken out of the 7-Eleven by a police officer for drinking his coffee inside of the facility. That sometimes he really doesn't know if the police officers are as willing to cooperate with them as they are with other people. That this is a commercial corridor, that the community functions off of the businesses and the restaurants and the bars, and that at the end of the day, everybody seems to be happy about being able to live in the community. That he loves the community because of the diversity. And he wishes that the live entertainment would return to Mount Pleasant. Oh, and the music in the park as well. That even though a lot of people complain about the up the problems.
There
are a lot of good businesses, and many people that complain, in his opinion, really don't live in the community. That a lot of the people that work here really don't live in the community. But he's very grateful about the diversity.
Muchas gracias.
Sir, have you spoken?
Actually, no. My name is Anthony Smart, a member of Always Mount Pleasant for the past 15 years. And, you know, I want to piggyback on what the lady was saying about the business community, too. There are several businesses that were foreclosed or went out of business, grocery stores that's actually curtailed a lot of the economy in Mount Pleasant, and I was wanting to know what the business district was planning to do to, like, regenerate these businesses. That there are vacant buildings sitting in Mount Pleasant, and also about the security, about regular folks that walk around at night, and pockets of little gangs that really semi-terrorize people in Mount Pleasant. I mean, a lot of people might not be aware of it or not be out at night or during the day, but I want to ask if the mayor's office could actually implement at least one camera in Mount Pleasant. We need some kind of security at night, and that is a deterrent that work in every neighborhood that's been really hard on crime and, you know, gangs activities. And I've been personally experienced that. I know what's going on in the streets. And I would like if the mayor's office could take this issue up for having at least one camera in Mount Pleasant, in the central area, that people will feel much safer, because the little pockets of gangs that accumulate in different corners, and I've seen incidents of a famous gang that you all know around the neighborhood across there at 14th Street, the incidents of kids getting stabbed and, you know, beat up, and you know, it's in here in Mount Pleasant, whether you want to face it on a day of here, and this is a serious issue that we should face for all security. Our kids and our nieces and nephews, you know, I've seen people, you know, attacked and personally have come to people's aid in this neighborhood. I'm being actually had retribution towards me because of doing this. So it'd be something that the mayor's office can look into to try to curtail this. And actually, if they can use one of these buildings to curtail the youth, as I've seen it done in Shore neighborhood, at the Kennedy Recreation Center, right there on 7th and Pete Street, where these are tough neighborhoods, where guys are really just on the street every day. And I've seen these guys, they're playing ping pong and, you know, being active. We need a community building where it could actually curtail these youth in a different direction. And I would like to see something like that implemented into this neighborhood. And then everybody would be part of it, you know, and you could feel like a one family. And another thing that's happening in the neighborhood is that you always find people criminally minded think they're always, they're like a nice neighborhood always attracts them. This is where they want to go and do stuff. You know, oh, it's nice here, you know, we could set up shop here. So, you know, we got to keep that Mount Pleasant feeling going on, and the mayor can do something about that. I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Tony, you are one of the four grantees that from the recent micro grant program, which we just approved, and one of the four dealing with crime problems in Mount Pleasant. I mentioned three. You've got the fourth. The other three are based in apartment buildings and going to work with Bovines and the police. But yours is for the gangs and for youth. Do you want to give people, are you ready to accept volunteers to work with you on your project?
Yes, but I'd like to get more information on how to go about this, you know, set up a website or something that we can...
So you don't want to give your phone number right now?
Not right now, because of issues I have to take care of.
Okay, let's keep going around the room. You guys both spoken?
How about Richard? Let's hear from Richard. I want to hear from Richard. Wait, come on.
Sorry, did you want to speak, sir?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I don't know for that. I don't know. He was already got so late. I don't know if
offend anybody who is present here. My name is Miguel Solis.
Vivo en el edificio 1630 de la Park Road.
He lives in the 1630 Park Road.
Tengo mucho tiempo vivir en ese edificio.
I have a long time to live in the building.
Voy a apoyar un poquito lo que dijo la señora que está peor aquí.
I want to support a little bit of the things that the woman can see in my family.
Del edificio 1639, que nunca lo levantaron.
I feel the need of a prayer and a prayer of the view.
Que es un nombre antiguo porque compraron creo que 2 millones o 5 mil y ahora lo venden en 20 mil.
Because they bought it in 2 millions and now they're selling it for 1 million.
Ese es el mismo problema que sucedió donde yo vivo.
That is the same problem that I have where I live.
Lo he aprendido varias veces.
I have solved it several times.
La última vez.
The last time.
Entonces nosotros nos unimos en una asociación.
We got together, we made an association.
Luchamos.
We fought.
Por anular la venta del edificio.
To stop the selling of the building.
Pero de la oficina del concejal Jim Graham.
From the office of Jim Graham.
Telosa. El señor Graham. Y un oficial que vencía.
And a police officer.
El día 2003.
No, 2004.
Que se decía los tres años de plazo para que nosotros ya no pudiéramos hacer nada para durar la vida del edificio.
That was the last time before the period ended, so we can have a chance to buy the building.
Bueno, no conseguí abogado, no conseguí nada. El gobierno, siempre estuve en la oficina, o sea, aquí en Granja, con fotos, con documentos de la violación de los chinches, de forma que la manager no usaba.
I was always in the building, so Mr. Graham, with pictures, documents, and stuff that showed that the manager used to abuse us.
Los trabajadores, de igual manera. La única excusa que tenía, que la compañía que ellos buscaron para administrar el edificio, ellos son los culpables, que ya habían buscado a otra compañía.
They used to blame the managed company of the building. That's what they were blaming, but the bad behaviors and stuff like that.
Yes.
That they were looking for another company.
Y así se lo pasaron todo el tiempo.
And that's the way they could go on.
Y esa compañía, ustedes se ven mucho de nazis. Ellos son abogados, dueños, managers, administradores, y esas son la gente que están subiendo la renta, como ella dijo, que está preocupado porque la renta está muy alta por acá.
Those are the people, the owners, the lawyers, the managers, all that people that have to get understand because they're raising the rent for us. And like you said, you're concerned about the rent, the increasing of the rent here.
Llevaba mucha gente del edificio a la oficina de Granja. Ahí le lloraban de los problemas que tienen, de los momentos de arresto. No quisieron nada.
From that building, a lot of people went to the office of Mr. Graham and they tried, they cried, they told what's going on, the abuse of the rent and stuff, and they could have done.
Así que yo no he votado por Jim Graham porque no soy ciudadano, porque soy residente.
I cannot vote for Jim Graham because I only
los que votan por él, los que lo han elegido a él como concejal de distrito, bueno, ese es el pago que le está dando, está aumentando la renta, porque eso es lo que quiere gente que gane mucho dinero, que pague mucho impuesto, y a nosotros no nos quieren.
The people they have voted for him, and the people they are there, just be aware that that's how Mr. Graham is paying you, by increasing the rent, and doing other things that, through the bad thing they feel is that they really don't want us here.
Gracias, si he ofendido a alguien, espero que me disculpen.
Thank you.
No tengo intención de ofender a nadie.
Thank you, and if I offended someone, please forgive me. It's not my intention to offend anyone and people in this room.
Lo que quiero decir es que no le den espalda a ti, Frank. Es una persona bien astuta.
But as he said, no debo lo que trae to finalize this time. Don't give you back to Mr. Graham because
sigue todo lo que él hace y se van a dar cuenta de lo que le estoy diciendo.
See what he's doing and you will
en las próximas elecciones,
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Oh, sir. Yeah.
I'm near the neighborhood. Good evening, everybody. My name is Juan Carlos Ruiz. I own a company that is a consulting firm that works in organizing in communities, especially communities of color. So I basically, my trade is to do this type of work. Elected officials have been down the elected officials. I do this nationally. I have some training institute. But I'm based here now. I live across the street. I'm very excited to be here. But I'm also very concerned about the direction that the possible direction that I'm seeing happening right now in Mount Pleasant. Is some of the paths that I see in the city is happening. That is the gentrification that I see happening in the neighborhood. The rent is increasing. People of color, mostly, they cannot afford the rents and start moving away. And other people are coming in. The businesses are being forced with more taxes. So they are increasing the prices, and the people they cannot afford it. They cannot go there. So it's very very fascinating. The system that's being used all over the country to take the people with small resources out of the communities, right? So I see that happening here. That's one serious concern. How we want to turn that around, I think, is going to take some serious work. I, for one, am committed to do anything I can to help with that. But the other piece that I'm also concerned is the building, 7-Eleven, it's an empty building there, with a nice parking lot. So I wanted to buy the building. I have called the owner 4 or 5 times. And the owner's in England, I went there. Just tell me, you can just meet them, see what's your price, what's the limited stuff. Nothing. And now there's just 4 months I'm trying to buy the building there. And that is making me think, this person thinking, you know, right? What type of investment that person is doing in our community?
More expensive.
I'm sure looking for more expensive stuff. Then I looked across the street next to the building where I am now, and we see the building that was burned and there's nothing being reviewed. I'm very pissed off about the mayor promises and we didn't do anything about it. So if there's anything happening around that, I would like to take action on it, because most of those people that are giving us that, and I have friends there that move out and now they are all over the place, and this is an injustice. It's a real injustice that we cannot. The third piece around that is, let's go back about the rent, right, increasing of the rent. In some towns, in some cities, we were successful in developing pilot programs where the area is, the rent is stabilized. You know, into the vision that the community has, into the increasing of resources from the city comes into that pilot area. So, for example, you say it's going to be a rent safe zone. So it's a number of resources that the city put to force the landlords to make their buildings, let's say. And they bring some money to support the landlords and programs like that. But that doesn't increase the rent, because if you force the landlord to clean their windows and do the stuff they need to do for lead, what's going to happen is they're going to put it into the tenant, right? So in order to balance that, there's some grants to put it into that direction to maintain the rent. The main goal of that is that we should not allow this increase in the rent and those increases in the taxes of the businesses in the area, because that is creating more people living in this town. So if there's something that we can do about that, we can explore some possibilities to make Mount Pleasant and pilot areas and come out with some specific things that we want to see improve here. I think it's going to tackle to the point that we're trying to bring more resources, more beautiful things, make the lighting and stuff. And then the rent goes up.
Yes,
and
I'll tell you.
So it's cash 22, right? So we want to balance that. So that's true. Those are a few of the things. And if there's anything I can do to help, I'm more than happy to bring myself. And if other consultants will donate the time to do it in any way.
Call me.
Sir, I think Jack McKay was calling on you quite strongly.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Richard Hardy. I've lived in Mount Pleasant off and on for 48 years. No. I'm 53, so I was fine when I moved here. But I've seen a lot of change in Mount Pleasant, and it just seems that the overall view is it has to do with money coming in and filling up these empty places in here. That will get people coming in there. Maybe that will help with some of the crime. I'm an owner now, so as far as like getting, you know, I think rent control is an important thing for lower income families in there. So it seems to be a lot of issues that's gonna, that we're almost overwhelmed here in Mount Pleasant. They're dealing with security because actually the guy who brought me in there, he's gone, which I'm a little mad about that there. But we talked about the fire that was on Kilbourne a couple of weeks ago, which I didn't know about. So I, you know, I look in the paper on Thursdays and it says people getting mugged right outside my door on 17th and Kenyon. I'm right here at 1650 Kenyon. And so, but I think that if you bring businesses in there and that brings people in here and that helps sort of keep out some of the bad elements, because when it comes to police, if you have crime in there, where when I moved in here years ago, the whole big issue was drug dealing on 17th and Park Road. So the police's thing was, well, let's put a van in front of, in between here and 7-Eleven. And then 9-11 happens, so all the police goes down to the mall there. So it's a frustrating situation we're going to have to deal with. It's going to have to do with us sort of policing ourselves and looking over our shoulders. If it's 12:30 at night, don't leave places from coming from Adams Morgan, walking through the dark streets in there, because you have to be aware there. But, you know, as far as like police in here, whether it has to deal with the Latino community, I have no problem with any community in here, but as an African American, I don't go up to a police officer and talk to them. I mean, I keep a respective distance from them, whether they're white police officers, black police officers, Latino in there. That's just my experience, you know. So I think we come to the table with different perspectives, but when we get into problems with it, we project our experiences on everybody else. So if it works with me, it's going to work with the Latinos, it's going to work with the whites, it's going to work with the ones who just moved in, and we never come to a focal point in here. So we're coming into it with different experiences in here. So I think that, and when I bought my condo, I said, you know, green, you can stay here. So whether you're Latino, whether you're white, whether you're in there, if you own your property, you're not going to have some issues in there. But then again, coming to ANC meetings, I want to make sure my face is known, so whatever gentrification does, then they're going to know, well, that's Richard coming in there, because I won't walk down the street as I did. It was in the paper 8 years ago where I have Starbucks coffee in one hand, and I have my dry cleaning for the Lamont Street dry cleaners, and I go over to see, well, I never see drug dealers on 70th Street, and I go over there, I walk in there, and then white woman walks into the street, and keep from walking by me, and I'm thinking, that's kind of weird, and then as the police drive by there, they kind of look under their visors and look who I am. I got laundry and coffee in my hand, what a big threat in there. So like I said, it's a lot of social issues and economic issues and business, and my last thing I'll say is that I was talking to the woman who owns Dos Gringos, and I said, we have a lot of empty small businesses in here. I said, maybe what we can do is try to solicit artisans to come in, like a pottery artist, or people who make jewelry, come in there, and that will bring in, it's not going to compete with Target or anything in there, but it'll help to bring in people, maybe like they have up in Tacoma Park. It'll bring in, you know, the right crowds in here, and people, maybe if they have some type of party that the kids can go to at this Guatemala market in here. So that's something that the kids can get involved with. Then there's some type of social thing in there. We talked about the schools not having money for bands. So we have a school here. So, yeah, we don't have money enough for equipment. If the school has marching bands, whatever, or pianos and stuff in there, and if we can work somewhere with the city that we can have that there, we can have the kids in the community to go to Lincoln and have band practice or have some type of music program, that's something that gets kids motivated and working so they don't get into mischief. That's it.
Thank you very much. Ma'am, are you in the back?
My name is Rosa Rivas. I'm the board member to the 3129 Mount Pleasant Street across the town. I had a big problem with the parking. It's ticket every day, constant. I work to pay for the city, but even ticket. 7:40 is a ticket. The sign say 9:40 to 6:40. But the guys around in the morning just put a 7:40. This is a big problem.
Do you have problems parking during the day or at night?
In the day, if I can. Not in the night, from the morning.
I guess it's both.
When she comes back from work, most of the time when she's parking, when she comes back from work, she gets a ticket most of the time. She's supposed to get a ticket after 6 p.m., but she gets a ticket even 7 when she's already getting ready to get to bed or whatever she needs to do. She even has to start checking the car because she gets tickets even in those times.
Do you ever try and fight those tickets?
Those people that do the parking or the tickets, all right? It's like that they are just, we try to, we need to respect the law, we need to follow the law. I agree with that 100%. You know, but when I came here, I come up late with the Wisconsin reason. The next day, the first day I came, I found the car outside, they hear the tickets. I agree with we need to follow the law, but sometimes people do not know. We want to be a friendly community. And we need to, those guys, I was talking to them, hey, I think 1 hour, blah, 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 and making a joke of the work that is doing, not realizing the impact they have. So when I have, I went thinking, why do I want to open a business here? Parking is hard, why am I talking a business here, all right? And then you have all the problems there, so I think there are places where we can change some things. I'm not telling them, hey, please, if people are coming with their license plate, you see them for a month, you can see the people for a month, the cars. So then you put the heat on it, all right? But they are becoming first time, second time. Come on, we need to build a community of welcome. And not just, I got you, man. That's I don't think it's not going to work here. So hopefully we can work with that.
Yes, sir.
I don't think you told me this, I got you. What I discovered by the ticket writers is that they don't know. A lot of them don't know what the law is. And I think that's one of the things. They need to be educated. They don't know what the law is.
Yeah, that's true. And actually, along those lines, I've been the unfortunate recipient of a lot of tickets, and some of them I deserved, but others I didn't. And there's been a number of illegitimate tickets where, like, for example, where I live on Kilbourne 18, there's like a sign saying, no parking near the corner on one side of the street, not on the other. There's no sign, and they routinely ticket. Even people, park what would intuitively be proper distance, and it's not fair. And that one actually I contested and didn't get off. And there's just a number of instances like that, to the point that it's really it's $50, sometimes even $100. Which, given the diversity of the community we live in and the diversity, not only ethnically but socioeconomically, that could impact people in different ways. That it just seems disproportionate to the person who doesn't see the crime, even if it is a legitimate ticket. And again, as the gentleman was saying, that I really don't think they know what the law is a lot of times.
Okay, wait. I hear that as an important issue, and I think we're all on the ANC want to address that. We also want to make sure that we're talking about the future of Mount Pleasant. So understanding how to make parking work for our neighborhood, not only for businesses but for residents. That's an important issue, but let's also not get down in the weeds so much, and let's talk about our vision for the future. So I know you chimed in on the parking issue. Did you have other ideas?
Yeah, I need some affordable houses up here, man. I'm a senior citizen. We can't rent houses. Going up every year.
Okay.
Really need some affordable houses.
Wait, I want to hit people that haven't spoken yet. A lot of us have had a turn. I just want to touch on people. Olivia? I know, you haven't spoken.
What is your vision for this?
Well, you know, I think we really have to look at what is really already here. And support, for example, the businesses that have been here long enough. We have to understand what their issues are. That's what we have to begin with. We can think of lots of new things. I think we always have a little one here. We have a lot of things that are more stable than a lot of other places, a lot of instability and housing. So we should see where we can reinforce what exists.
Anybody else that has not spoken?
Can I add something? There was a gentleman who was talking about the ticket. You know, the other conveniences in the corner of the 17 and the things, Mount Pleasant. I have a customer coming over there, corner over there. Even my cousin, I was unloaded a truck from the grocery. The ticket writer came, gave me a ticket. I called the mayor office. They told me to take a picture. I said, the man decided to see the zoning ticks. They told me to take a picture. I said, I explained everything. I said, I'm loading a truck right now. It's commercial things. She said, well, we can't do that. You get a ticket. I call mayor office. They don't respond. Mm-hmm. I call again, talk to the person with somebody else, supervisor. They didn't get any response. The other drivers came. He was to bring the scratch ticket. He got $50 ticket. No, anytime he comes, I have to go outside, wash his car, so they don't get any tickets. And the mention of the camera, I called mayor office a couple of times. I talked to the police department's office, leave a message for chief of the police for the camera in 17 Rhode Island, because Tony was mentioning a lot of activities in the corner. I didn't get any response yet. Exactly, corner 17. Because you can monitor all of the 17, and the camera can monitor 17th Street. Two times I called the police. Two gas members. They was walking in the Mount Pleasant. They was going for a fight. They came fast, but they didn't get any things.
Thank you. I think we all agree that we need to hold our elected representatives accountable. I mean, you need to hold us accountable. We're having these meetings so we can hear from you. And you got to make sure that we are on task. But we've talked about Jim Graham. We've talked about the mayor's office. The mayor's office is represented here tonight. I know they're going to take some of this back. We've got some angry neighbors here. But we've got the police, too. We've all got to hold our government accountable. So I'm glad to see that there's a lot of energy and focus on that in this room. We need to keep it up. You, sir, in the back?
David Richardson.
Just sitting in.
I have a question. Come on, David. You're the second generation activist. Your mother was very active 20 years ago. And you know that you said you wanted to become more active. Just tell her.
I'm just sitting in.
Well, tell us what you're thinking.
Right now, I'm thinking good. Things are work in progress.
Good.
I would like to say a question.
How do we know about this? I find out about this meeting because I went to Picasora. How do we know about this meeting? What do you need to do to get to know about this meeting?
It's going to be regular. It's the first Tuesday of every month.
So the first Tuesday of every month is kind of here?
Yes.
How we are reaching to other members in the community?
It will be posted at 24 locations around the neighborhood on lampposts. It's also on the internet, and it's in my newsletter, but for you, you will find it on 24 lampposts scattered around the neighborhood.
And 24 lampposts in my single member district.
Well, we've got ANC1D.org, our website. So that's a spot. We've got the lampposts. We try and get the word out as much as possible.
Nothing works as good as the coconut radio.
for talking to your neighbors. Now we told you, you tell three other people, and they should tell three other people.
Well, I guess I asked that question because I think they are different with you.
Now, for you specifically, Heidi Aida Venegas told me she was going to, 4 days ago, I talked with her, and she said that she was going to call you and talk with you personally to ask you to come. So I have made many, many calls. Barbara Hayden made 20 or 30 calls. We've distributed about 85 notices this afternoon, just around, to people that we know, and to get them to come. And so there was about 15 or 20 hours put into publicizing this meeting that I know.
Listen, I know how difficult it is to do this. No question. You just said perhaps we can help some other ideas to get more people involved. Like, for example, you know, so we can have
Why don't we do the radio station on Montpellier Radio? 96.5.
No, just we can brainstorm about getting more outreach because we're going to tackle the mayor. We need more people.
I just wanted to say, here Mount Pleasant meets the first Wednesday of every month here at 7. And we were successful last year in getting our government to move on a couple things, dealing with Don Juan's trash container, and some other issues. And we are looking, one of the things we're planning and we're beginning to plan, working with some of the tenants from Adobo, is something to commemorate the first year anniversary of the fire to bring attention. I'm very curious, you know, we talk about the impotence of our elected officials. We have a lot of empty buildings on Mount Pleasant Street. A lot of people have been working actively in trying to recruit new businesses to those. But they're not owned by people, you know, you're dealing with absentee landlords. So we have got to make it more expensive to keep those buildings empty than to hold them and help the rents go up. And our politicians, they pass laws, they can figure out ways to do that. But we got to hold them accountable. So if you're interested, Phil will be at the meeting tomorrow. I can't be there, but we are looking for people who want to become active in their community, not only, you know, to bring more vibrancy, and part of what we got to do is deal with the problems.
So I asked that because do we have a strategic plan for the area? Because in the
well, that's what we're there, that's being worked on. That's being worked on.
You guys are the best.
We're trying.
We're
just part of it. Yes. But also, you should press the very civic groups that here. I know Always Mount Pleasant has been working on it. Here Mount Pleasant has been working on it.
Main Street.
Main Street has had
business association.
The ANC and Main Street co-sponsored a meeting on the future of Mount Pleasant 4.5 years ago. So this is a topic where we've been trying to bring people together. Now, I think the reality is that different people will find the culture of different civic groups more to their liking. This is a neighborhood with, some people say, 5 different communities that hardly speak to each other. What we're trying to do here, I mean, we have a parallel process. One is here, we're trying to get everybody together that'll talk with each other, but we can't do it. We can't do everything for everybody. So we have all these other civic associations, and anybody that wants to get together with others and work on the neighborhood, I think this ANC will support them. We moved our meeting to the third Tuesday, in fact, specifically to encourage the various civic groups to hold their meetings early and talk about things, and so they can bring them to the ANC. This is part of a strategy where we're trying to work with building associations, block associations, civic associations, and then have a meeting like this. This is, you can see that we're struggling to get people to practice getting involved.
On that note, and I'd just like to piggyback on what the gentleman was saying, I completely agree. I've been living in Mount Pleasant for 3.5 years. I wasn't even aware of the existence of these meetings until this is actually a project for grad school I'm doing that I have to do a community assessment. And I had to really proactively look into things. It wasn't, I had to really dig to even just learn about it. And I understand that after Gar being made, about getting, you know, more members of the community involved, which I think is great. For instance, you know, have we explored maybe asking local proprietors if they'd be willing to have information, you know, like at the Marx Cafe or you know, just various places that a lot of people go to, Best Way even. Has that been explored or?
Good point.
Yeah, this is my first term. But I don't know, like you, I mean, I sat on the sidelines for a long time. I really did. I mean, I've been a resident here for 10 years, started getting involved with the music issue about a year and a half ago. I mean, 8 years just sitting on the sidelines. You know, I mean, Mount Pleasant is a neighborhood. D.C.'s a city, right? Like, sure. I didn't really think of myself necessarily as living here only. I lived in the whole city. How do you get in people's faces? You know, it's tough. And we gotta draw them out of their apartments. We gotta draw them out of their houses. We gotta get them active in the street. Yes.
I just wanted to touch on the gang issue again really quickly, and that I've been doing a lot of work at the youth center with the gang intervention partnership, the GIP, and this has the potential in this neighborhood to start sort of growing very quickly because the target areas and the hotspots have been in the Columbia Heights neighborhood. And so as they get kind of pushed out of there, they are spilling into Mount Pleasant a lot. And it really, to suppress that quickly is really going to have to come from the community in partnership with the police and community organizations. So I know that guy said he's not ready to take numbers or anything, but I think it would be, that's something that I would be really interested in working on, is starting to maybe do some research on best practices that, like other communities like ours in the country, that have dealt with this sort of emergence of these gangs and how they've suppressed them really quickly. And whatever, I might be the only one in the room that doesn't know what innovative policing means, but maybe that would be like the chance to start the dialogue between the police, if he has a grant specifically for, not you, but the man that was sitting there before, sorry, if he has a grant specifically for that, plus like the resources that, I mean, I know that I can put people in contact with through GIP and through, we have outreach workers at the center that specifically work on this every day. We have 3 of them. And so just
give
sort of,
name and number.
Yeah, it's Leah Galvin, G-A-L-V-I-N, and it's, 202-285-5748.
And the name of the organization again?
It's the Latin American
Center. You're both from LAMP.
And so I just wanted to...
My guess is that you'd be very welcome at the Always Mount Pleasant meeting on Saturday at noon. 2 years ago, AMP spent about 6 or 7 months purely on the gang resurgence here. And the police, it took about 20 calls. Actually, it was, I think, 16 specifically calls to the police before they reluctantly sent somebody to the meeting. And at that meeting, the police officer then told the woman who, the very next day after that meeting, her son was killed, that she would be responsible because she was not able to discipline her son, which was not the thing to say. The police have been very uncooperative.
I kind of think that that's changing. I mean, I know several officers that are really involved with our outreach workers and working in the community. And
good.
I would hate to just, like, write it off because of passive incidents.
No, we should move forward.
Yeah.
And we've got a number of... this ANC has been very proactive. We've allocated money, and we have a program that looks like it's going to get us results. We are the ones that instigated the citywide change on PSAs. That occurred because of the activism of this ANC. While we've got the mayor's agent here, let me call you. You've heard at least 2 big issues that people are that look like they're right. One is parking. Can you work with us and report back to the ANC
sure.
In 2 weeks, 2 weeks from tonight?
Sure.
And perhaps you can call some of the members of the ANC. You can call me or any others. Jack is very active in policing. I hate to volunteer his time. But there are people that are very active, and we can do something about parking and maybe about gangs.
If you want something easy, deal with the building.
Yeah,
okay.
We
can.
Okay,
it's 9 o'clock. I wonder if our chair would be willing. time to extend, or is this time, or should we?
If there are other issues that some of the commissioners or some of the people out there, if there's anything new that needs to be brought up, sure, but we don't need to repeat anything. We got a fistful of things to.
I just want to say that Barbara and I belong to the people who own this building. We're a small church, and when we bought this building in 1974, our commitment was to the community that it would make this building as friendly and as available to the community as possible. And so that's why lots of the smaller groups meet here, the ANC meets here. In the last years, for many years, it's just a little bit of history, just so that it feels like another. We used to house the Life Skills Center, which was a life skills center for developmentally retarded, whatever they call it these days, retarded adults. I know a lot of the old school. When they moved out, we decided to redo the buildings, the rooms down here, and redo the room in here and install a lift so that it will be available so people can, who can't really maneuver these stairs, I'm getting to that point, can actually come up into this room with a little bit more ease, with also handicapped accessible bathroom that's downstairs here. But we now do have two tenants. One is Amani Yaju, and if you're talking about handcraft stuff, they are a group that are empowering African women, and they bring their work here, and they are open on Fridays. Most of the time, they send their stuff out across the country, but they are open on Fridays. They do have some really fabulous stuff. It is really interesting. The other group that are in here are the Language Access Coalition, and they are the monitoring group where we are one of the few five cities in this country that actually have mandated language access. If your language is not English, you, by law, in this city, can demand to have access to language services in your own language. And so the Language Access Coalition actually monitors that. They're monitoring the schools, they're monitoring the courts, they're monitoring, and they also do a lot of community work. They're apparently available. So anyway, the two sort of slightly hopeful signs on Mount Pleasant Street.
Yes.
You're the only one who brought in any of your business.
I personally would like, and I ask others to join in with me, to applaud the work of the Community of Christ represented that is offering this building, and we have two of their activists here, Dora Johnson and Barbara Hayden. Thank you.
Thank you for the invitation.